I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth podcast. Let's go right to our message entitled, Replacing the Natural with the Unnatural and Calling it Natural. In our text in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we have borrowed out of each one of them a phrase. In the verse 26, it said in our reading here, change the natural use. And Paul then uses in verse 27 the phrase, leaving the natural use. I only borrowed these phrases from this text because I wanted to draw your attention to the fact concerning the changing and leaving and what that means. It has always been Satan's push to reverse the order of God when it came to what was right and what was wrong in the minds of men. The battleground of Satan has always been in the minds of man and is for its control. It is wherever spiritual battle will be won or lost. Proverbs 27 and 3 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's referring to mankind. Now the plan of Satan in regards to sin and the works of the flesh is to get man to think backwards and to believe that evil was good, good was evil, darkness was light, light was darkness, bitter was sweet, and sweet was bitter, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. It worked with Eve in the garden in Genesis 3, and he has been very successful in doing this ever since. But for the church, we should not be deceived. We have advanced knowledge empirically of Satan's scheme. But Satan has reintroduced in today's world an old strategy to get mankind to accept the unnatural for the natural, and scores have been deceived, which is basically the same idea in the scripture that we just read, but used in a little different way. He is advancing his world system with greater haste to get us to normalize the abnormal and to accept it as normal. Because it says in Revelations 12 and 2, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a little season. He has had this scheme in motion for a long time. For years he has patiently waited, and now today has found a generation that will accept his scheme and is much easier to convince than their forefathers were before them. And he is way ahead of schedule. His goal is to make the change from that society frowns on to accepting it as a change for the good of the whole. You see, the devil is a pragmatist and sells this idea of man through the clever tool of pragmatism. After all, it is a compassionate thing to do, the right thing to do, the best thing for our troubled world. Let's just add a little milk of human kindness to the mix and call it tolerance for each other's views. And pragmatism has been successful for him in order to make changes regarding to what society calls vices. We have seen it work on such vices as the alcohol and wine industry, divorce, prostitution, gambling, adultery, abortion, and children born out of wedlock, and the legalization of designer drugs for enhancement or medical purposes, and in just about every part of our lives. And of late, it has worked in the alternative lifestyles of mankind, anywhere from cohabitating with your significant other to the gay and transitioning community. Now, all the above mentioned changes are history, and this leaven of deception is well at work, permeating through all of society. The devil is also well satisfied with how the religious world has accepted these changes and has so easily adapted them to her thinking. All the enemy of mankind had to do was to get some prominent pastors to accept and to teach them as being the tolerable thing to do, and to look at them through the eyes of love and not as the don'ts that the Bible warns about. And the rest in time followed. And we see the effects in our day-to-day lives, yet most know the tragedy behind them. Repetition is still the best teacher. But I want to turn your attention to another terrible vice that is gaining traction in the minds of mankind. It has already found some advocates that will champion its cause. It is the vice of pedophilia. One such advocate is Mergem Hein, a German medical student. You can view her speech online. She calls pedophilia an unchangeable sexual orientation that should be accepted by society. Her premise is that a pedophile who does not abuse children has done nothing wrong and should not be punished. They are basically good people that should be helped by society. And before long, with the mindset of the world conditioned to accept the bizarre and unnatural, this vice will soon be on its way to being another acceptable norm of society, especially with more educated advocates pushing it, and enough families find out that they have more and more pedophiles in the family, things will change quickly, and you can mark that down. That combination works quite well, especially the latter part. Look how it has worked for other terrible vices in the past. Now, in a liberal society such as ours, man has many perplexing problems, especially since he has removed much of the idea of the God of the Bible from his thinking. And by replacing it with humanism, man has removed the only means of finding true and successful remedies to his dilemmas. No longer is there any absolutes. Now man has lost his moorings and is set adrift on this troubled sea of life. The Bible said that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot find rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:20-21. Therefore, in this weak moral condition, man has been unable to come up with some real solutions to the many problems that he faces, and has neither the moral will nor the political courage to deal with the problems. Therefore, we have what the Bible calls the perplexity of nations. Jesus warned and said, "And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." Luke 21:25. The definition of perplexity is the inability to deal with or understand something complicated or unaccountable. Another definition is simply an entangled state. So instead of trying to deal with the problems of which he has no answer for anyway, he simply puts them off for another time. It's what some call kicking the can down the road. Politicians and presidents do this all the time. Just simply shutting your mind to the problem and ignoring it in hopes that it will go away, or leave it for someone else to deal with later, like the proverbial ostrich putting his head in the sand. A good illustration of what I'm talking about is a politician in California came up with a brilliant idea. When interviewed about the homelessness, drug problems, and the unsanitary conditions of human waste left on the streets of their cities, his or her solution was simply to the people, put like this, about what to do for the problem. "Just smoke more marijuana," they told the people, "and you won't notice the problem as much." How laughable is that? What that politician was really saying was, "I have no earthly idea what to do about this problem, so why even ask me?" A world out of control, and man does not know what to do about it. He has no answers. Perplexity of nations. With pedophilia, man takes the same approach. He just uses another method. First of all, Satan, through the agent of man, changes people's thinking on the subject. of whether it's right or wrong, whether it's a crime, it's a criminal act, or it's just the way they were born. This has been Satan's approach to all the vices of mankind down through the ages, and this one will be handled in exactly the same way. The push is already on to change the thinking of man from that which is a terrible evil perpetrated on our children that must be punished by the law, to the idea that that's the way they were born. They're not bad people. It's just their sexual preference. Some venture even further and blame God for the problem by saying that was just the way God made them. That approach worked, so why not in the case of the pedophile? Soon they will replace the word pedophile with something that does not sound so crude, like men and boy love. Something more in keeping with progressive modern thinking. First, it must be declassified as a criminal offense to just an act of nature, another way of making love or showing love in an already love-crazed society, such as the idea, and these are some suggestions, of a sweet old grandfather or some kind old gentleman, or an over-affectionate uncle, or better yet, a role model. That's it. Every young person needs a role model. You know, like a coach from some big-name college. When this is finally enacted into law, they will have to release many uncles, grandfathers, brothers, coaches, and kindly old next-door neighbors from jail and apologize to them. The difference between them and freedom anyway is how society views their crime. So we have already seen that the first approach is now being advanced in the minds of society. And that is, it's just their sexual preference, not something sinful or bad at all. Once it has been decriminalized in man's minds, the agents of Satan are well on their way, and the next step will be to normalize it. Now, the tool that they will use to decriminalize it is to persuade society and the lawmakers of the country to lower the age of consent between an adult and a minor child. Some lawmakers, I heard, are already considering this. After all, they say, children today are more mature. Just look at the moral choices we have freely allowed them already, will be the argument. Why? Why, from ages 5 and up, most children already have cell phones to access anything they want. No more learning about the birds and the bees out behind the barn. Now, porn and anything else is just a click away. Or the pedophile can easily access your child's cell phone anytime he or she wants. Why, even the children carry a whole treasure trove of porn around in their pockets. The case for lowering the age limit won't be hard to make. The advocates of pedophilia will try to paint the children with the caricatures of young adults. If they can get the consent age lowered by a few years, say down to 12 or 13, it will give Satan the foothold he needs to normalize this sin and really destroy the true idea of childness of our children. Now, evil is always progressive and downward in nature. Once society accepts the idea that pedophilia is just another normal way to show love, it will be no problem for the evil birds of Satan to swoop down again and again and simply lower the consent age between an adult and a minor to, let's say, 7 or 8 years old, and on down to 5 or 6. After all, many of our little girls dress like they are high teens already. And a downward society will fall into this pit without a bottom. This vice of pedophilia also has two companions already advocating for their rights to be normalized by society. And that's the vice of bestiality and polygamy. Now, I am not one that makes these vices a vice just because I happen to think that they are. but it is society that determines whether something is a vice or not, simply by accepting or rejecting it, regardless of what thus saith the Word of God. And when society normalizes that vice in their thinking, they can rest assured that the elected officials will follow suit and make it the law of the land, and then it will be set in stone. Then you must really guard, mom and dad, your children. We are already seeing on the horizon, after the legalization of alternative lifestyle marriages, quickly on the heels of that came the push from the polygamous community. So now the field is wide open, and zoophilia, or better known as bestiality, will soon be the next big push by people desiring to have sexual relationships with their pets. Now, this subject is gross, grotesque to even talk about, but we must, for just a little, to my regret and disdain. Now, here is a new word for you, zoophilia, kind of like necrophilia, which is having sex with a dead body, and you may not know it, but it is still legal in some American states. It won't take much effort, and necrophilia will become the norm also one day. Perversion is a downward slippery slope. Zoophilia is classed as a sexual disorder involving an erotic attraction to animals or an abnormal desire to have sexual contact with animals. It is a form of paraphilia, which means deviant sexual behavior that means departing from the usual or accepted standards. Is that not what my message is about? That's what I'm trying to tell you about. They term it a disorder for now, but just wait till they normalize it. That will change. Look at the way some have personified their pets today, while they sleep with them. Here of late, there's been a rash of arrests made of sexual abuse of animals. I've read it lately in the news articles. It seems to be going on everywhere. All of a sudden, people are being arrested for sexual abuse of animals. Man is already practicing it. All they are waiting for is society to make it legal. The Word of God warns about unnatural affections in the last days. Pastor Clendenin brought out this truth so well in his videos, The Countdown to Tribulation, in the lesson on the three give-ups of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 31 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their minds, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient." I sincerely believe we've got a society today that's a reprobate mind. Being filled, the next verse says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. And skipping down to verse 31, in the list of these terrible things, we have in verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections. Did you hear what the apostle said? This last days would be marked by signs that without natural affections. Also in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, verse 2. And then dropping down to verse 3, Paul says, one of the last day signs will be without natural affections. I'm telling you, it's a time when the world and society is trying to change the natural to the unnatural and make it natural. Christians, you had better guard your testimony in these last days. We live in a very sexually explicit and open society. It is now in your face, all over the internet, magazines, television, movies. It's blatantly open today with sexual innuendos flowing freely from our lips has common language. Even the church world curses and uses slang and will indulge in off-color jokes. Also, we live in a society that when it comes to sex, any kind of sex, with whoever or whatever, wants no restraints put on it by society. When I say whatever, look at the craze today for the robots that men are willing to pay thousands of dollars for their own sex robot. What a day of perversion we are in. It is just a matter of time before these other vices will become the law of the land, because everyone wants the same rights as others to do whatever they want, no matter who or what it hurts, whether it's a human person, whether it's an animal, or whether it's a machine. He just don't care. Poor pet world, they do not know what perversion is coming their way. And once it becomes the law of the land, no politician nor judge will touch it, nor speak out against it, especially when society normalizes it. The making legal of these vices, for the most part, has always began in the United States. Now, I know that they may have appeared in and around other loose moral societies of the world. But by and large, America leads the way, and it's just a matter of time until we export this idea of legalizing pedophilia to the rest of the world, and we know not what else. We ask ourselves, where does the Church of Jesus Christ stand on these issues? We know where apostate religion stands. The question is, where does the real Church of Jesus Christ stand on these issues? Well, we have only to look around us, or to just go back a few months, a few short years, and we can see that the church has been, for the most part, quiet on these matters. I heard Pastor Clendenin say that somebody said 85% of Americans are born-again Christians. Now, he did not believe that, and neither do I. But let's, for illustration purposes, say that the number is close to that. Okay? We'll say 70% of Americans are really born-again Christians. How can a small group, then, that is opposed to the Ten Commandments being in any courthouse so easily get it removed? That's where the modern-day church stood on that issue. They were silent. Christians of Alabama, where were you when they took your Ten Commandments away from you out of your courthouse at Montgomery, Alabama? This modern-day church world has no moral effect on society. There was a time when the church determined what society viewed as a vice. But now the world makes that determination because of the weak condition of the church world. We call these weak, anemic, 3 or 4 day meetings revivals that make no change in the church members themselves, let alone affecting a change for the better on our society. This modern day Laodicean church is impotent against the darkness of its day, and is powerless to make any changes for the better on society, and we dare call these revivals. The church is so busy going on vacation, or at the beach competing in the local wet t-shirt contest, or muscle man contest, or the pastor's wives are competing in the Friday at the beach bikini contest. I have never seen the day when young pastors allow their wives to expose their naked bodies, not only to the other men in the church, but proudly expose them to the lustful eyes of the world. It seems to me they must like to show off their catch, as if to say, "Don't you wish your wife looked like mine?" This must be a young pastor thing going around. Young man, that is not natural. Now with the advent of Facebook, they can now show them off to the men in every country. How great is that? So goes the pastor, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the world. B.H. Clendenin again. Young pastors, especially those of you who claim to be mentored by Brother Clendenin, should be deeply ashamed. You never saw Sister Clendenin shame her Lord like that, let alone bring shame on Pastor Clendenin. And young women, should not uncover your nakedness like that. Remember Noah after the flood? You should go back and read Genesis 9, 20 through 25. What a curse it left. I guarantee you, if you question most of the young people on spring break at Panama City Beach, Florida, if you could get them sober long enough that they would proudly boast of their church membership. See, alcohol, that's already been taken care of by society. Remember, that used to be a vice, but now society has deemed it no longer a vice, and the church has deemed that social drinking is all right. But I still go back and say again, if you could get them sober long enough, they would proudly boast of their church membership. Probably members in some of your own churches listening to my message today. While Satan's agents are busy passing laws against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is missing in action in this war against the powers of darkness. They are too busy being AWOL or playing footsie with a world that is the sworn enemy of our Lord. The modern day church has grown in size, but mainly on Sunday morning. It has grown fashionably. It has grown wealthy and affluent. Now, I'm speaking about the church in America. The church in the rest of the world, and in many places, a different story. But let's focus on the church here in America. The modern day church in America has also grown very lazy, lukewarm, and with very little interest in spiritual things. There is very little manifestation of the Spirit of God and not much preaching about the Word of God in doctrine and truth. Its people just go to church and go home. Then they come back again and then they go home. And then the next service they do the same thing. It seems that they have become bored with God. The idea of sin is not dealt with by many of the preachers today. They seem afraid to speak out against sin. They're not like their forefathers in the great Pentecostal movement, who were not afraid to cry out against the sins and vices of society in their day, nor not afraid to warn the people of the impending judgment of God on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their preaching prepared men for heaven, not like most of the preaching today that only prepares men to be better fathers, to have a better a family, to have a better career, to have better kids, to have a better life down here, as though this was all that there is to life and that he was going to live forever down here. Paul said, if we have hope of this life or this world, we're of all men most miserable. No preaching of the blood, no preaching of the cross of Christ, nor warning men of the judgment to come. No showing by Scripture how sinful they are and how they need to get right with God. It's now about how good they are, how wonderful they are, and I think the motive behind that is the tithe. Therefore, we have a church world and world going hand in hand together down the Broadway to that imaginary place they call heaven. That's the Bible, that the Bible said leads to destruction, and many go therein. Therefore, I do not expect this church world to lift up their voices against this vice of pedophilia either, because so many in the religious world are practicing it already. Look at the present dilemma of the Catholics on this subject. Over 1,000 children. Can you imagine that? 1,000 children and 300 pedophile priests involved in these terrible deeds, and the higher-ups covering it up. Oh, some will speak up at first. A few mothers will make a lot of noise for a while, but not much results. Kind of like the organization called MAD. You remember that organization? It hasn't stopped much drunk driving, has it? That's what it meant. MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They haven't even made a dent in it. But even they will, even these mothers that will cry out against the pedophiles, even they will grow silent when it is normalized, as they did whenever other vice that society chose to accept. You see, there was a time when if a nation had a vice, and that vice was openly done out in the streets, that the mothers of the world, mothers of the United States, whether they were Christian or not, they would mobilize and they would put down that vice that society chose to accept. But even they will grow silent when it is normalized. Mothers will grow silent when it's normalized, you see. Normalizing something seems to silence the foes. So that's been a great tool for the devil. Okay, let's normalize this thing and then nobody can speak against it. I warn you today so that not if, but when it happens, you remember that this preacher of the gospel told you so. That the normalizing, you see, it's the normalizing is where the problem is. The normalizing of that which is against nature and calling the abnormal normal, which is the subject of this message. It is coming, just like all the other abnormal things become normal in society in the past. And I also serve notice on you, my listeners. So is the Lord Jesus coming for His church. Many of you think that you are ready when in fact you are not. Matthew 25 tells us there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They were all virgins. They all had oil in their vessels. They had oil in their lamp. But you see, as time waited, as they tarried, That was referring to the fact that time progressed on. They all slumbered and slept. Not the idea of going to bed and sleeping forever, but the idea of just not paying attention anymore. And it said that then the cry was made at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." The 5 wise ones, they were ready to go. They had oil in their vessels, oil in their lamps. They rose to trim their lamps. And they were ready to go out, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But there were 5 other virgins. The Lord's trying to tell us something here that had oil in their vessels and oil in their lamps, but they did not have enough. And therefore, when they began to trim their lamps, the oil, the light began to go out. And you know the story. Matthew 7, 22, 23. Many will say unto me at that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" What day is that? The day of judgment. The day prophesied in thy name. And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name did many wonderful works. And then will I confess unto them, "I never knew you."
What good is gold and silver too, if your heart not pure and true? Oh, sinners, hear me when I say, fall down upon your knees and pray.
If you would like to know more about this podcast, or would like a copy of the manuscript of the messages, you can contact me at lawrence.register@yahoo.com.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.